On your program, you still have probably the TBA. I want to suggest one additional meaning for that abbreviation, which may have link with the topic we're going to present. To be apprehended by the world. At that same time, I want to apologize that some language used will be the language as it is used by the world in the world. Therefore, at times will be not much spirituality in it. However, I would like to link into it. That's our real topic. Consideration of these things. And as you may see, those four disciples, James, Peter, John, and Andrew, who came and asked these questions about these things. Only 4 out of 12, that means 1/3. So looks like even between disciples, that wasn't such a popular question. Maybe some of them were or retired after a long day. In the account of Mark, we read as it is. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of all these things? Should be fulfilled. And Luke goes the same almost manner. And as you noticed, in red, the same these things in all three accounts. However, Mark and Luke uses these things, that's in green. However, Matthew, when the same question is addressed, he actually splits it. He actually names it these things. And the first thing is thy coming, and the second thing is end of the world. That's kind of our definition for today of these things. We may extend the definition looking on the prior context. And in Matthew in the 24th chapter, 2nd verse, as we read, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So that would relate these things to the temple destruction. Very notable aspect of the judgment. Then in more distant context, we read the reference to all these things to the seven woes, Matthew 23:36. And then Matthew 23:33, we can even link these things with the damnation of hell, which is the final stage of the judgment. We focus on the parousia and Santalia. We'll explain later what we mean. Parousia. As a Bible students, we pretty well much know that second coming, parousia, is always linked with Epiphania and Apocalypse. And there's good reason for it. In classical Greek drama, that's example of usage is as you can see, but I'll explain it slowly. But first I want to make a note. When student in Greece comes to school, and when he comes to school, he sits, and when the teacher does the roll and calls his name, his answer is parousia. What it means that he came and he presents himself. So that's the way of presenting himself. So he's present, and not only that, he also present himself. So therefore, in the classical drama, we have the stages of presenting itself. First, when on the stage appears the character, unknown character, it is called parousia. It's got a mask, and nobody knows who is it. As drama goes on, and different clues are given, then we know something about the character, and that is called epiphania of the play. That is the beginning of revealment. And then, at the end, when the play is finished, when the actors come on the stage and they take the mask off, that is called apocalypse, that's a total revealment. Very similar use of these three words is in the modern Greek as well. When the and it's example of the submarine when he's surfacing, when it is presenting itself. When the cannon tower starts to emerge, it's called parousia. It's not really visible, the submarine is not visible, but it is present there. So that is parousia of the submarine. But then when the cannon tower is visible, it's called epiphania. Then when the submarine is totally visible, that's called apocalypse. Now it's one more example of these three words usage based on the scripture, more on the scripture. Remember this, as the bright shining comes from the east, that's in Matthew 24. I will come back to this verse later. We see little man here standing on the top of the mountain, and there is a sunrise. And he actually do not see the sun, but even before the sun comes and raised up, there's the parousia of the sun already. A brightness comes out of this. Then, when the sun is visible on elevated areas, that will be the epiphania. But look, people who are in the valleys, they don't see the sun for a long, long time. And when they do see the sun, that will be the apocalypse. We are taught that we need to go run to the mountain. Therefore, for us, all these stages are much earlier because we are on high elevation. A little comment on this verse which I took. As the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall be the coming, parousia, of the Son of the man. Lightning. Well, I have bright shining. And why do I have that way? Well, perhaps Luke 11:36 is the good justification for it. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, as when the bright shining, the same Greek word, of the candle does give thee light. So, candle doesn't give any lightning, just light. Maybe bright light when it's dark. So, our Lord used the word astrapa, light, which can be translated, as I said, a bright shining. And that's Pastor Russell also suggests that way. Why then our Lord used the word astrapa instead of helios, which is sun? He could have used sun, helios, and that would be so simple, right? I think this photo illustrates why. Well, as you can see, there's quite a bit of light here. The sun already risen like 10-15 minutes when the photo was taken, but you can't see the sun. What you can see is the light coming out of this sun. Pretty strong. And I think we're living in that situation. Situation where clouds of trouble hide the sun. And Lord knew about it, so he said, okay, when there will be the parousia, there will be the clouds. There will be something which will disturb the sun to be visible, but the light will be there. Let's come to the second thing, santeria, the end. Our Lord helps us what is meant by santeria in Matthew 13, chapter 39, verse. When he says that santeria, the harvest is the santeria. And Vine's definition of it is very, very good. The word does not denote a termination, but the leading up of events to the appointed climax. So santeria is the process. It's long time. It's the harvest. Harvest is not the day. It's just long time. And the other definition, which comes from Companion Bible, is the meeting together. It's a very interesting definition from Companion Bible. meeting together of all that marks the consummation of the age. I think I will use later this definition, how things will be meeting together at the end of the age. Well, what did they ask for our Lord? You can see. They asked for time and sign. When and sign, well, which was the time. So our Lord start to respond to this question. And I think they, or if not they, at least we got more than we bargained for out of his answer. I have a little example here, because that's in verse 5 where our Lord starts the answer in the question. But I have also verse 11 and verse 24, because these verses are talking about the false Christ, false prophets, at three different stages of the gospel age. And if you want to know more about it, I would recommend the discourse of Brother David Duren, Matthew 24 outline. He actually talks why is that way. Anyway, that is the good example here to substantiate the sentence we have from fourth volume, that Matthew's account is most complete and orderly. Because only Matthew so explicitly talks about this, what is mentioned in these verses. So, just a little story. When I was 18, 19, early 20s, I challenged myself. I really wanted to understand Matthew 24 and 25. And I just read it and read it so many times. I considered every single possibility. And I just couldn't make total sense out of this. I couldn't put everything together. Something was always missing. Then I read the fourth volume, the chapter, The Great Prophecy of Our Lord. And I thought, pretty good. How did he know that? Still didn't quite accept it, because I just couldn't, just basically was questioned, how did he know it? And I couldn't prove it, right? And it went away a few years, and finally I listened to a few discourses, and I can tell you, my experience is, yes, you can go my way, but it wastes quite a lot of time. The shorter way is actually read the fourth volume and try to prove it. It is much easier. Try to prove it. Still do it. Do it yourself. Do it for yourself and by yourself. Anyway, in the fourth volume is the suggestion that from verses 6 to 13, that the summary of the 18th centuries, from Jesus to almost where we live. So nine verses? Got it wrong. My math is not good. But that's a summary of whole 18th centuries. And if you keep that in mind, it makes it so easy. But first three verses, 6 to 8, let's read it. Or maybe let's talk about it. They talk about the issues that there will be wars not only between the kingdoms, but also within the kingdoms on two levels. And also there will be the famines and pestilences and earthquakes. So we have basically four different things which our Lord noticed as the most noticeable things within fourth, 18th centuries, which will affect the mankind. Not only that, he said that all these are primary sorrows. So what it means is that, well, if there are primary sorrows, there will be the secondary sorrows. And also what it means, it will look like that maybe that is the end. And people will use that as to persuade others that it is the end. You can see the pictorial representation of it. Let's move on. Now, from verses 9 to 13, he covers the same period from different perspective. For from the perspective of the Christians and how we will be persecuted. And that is the main point. And he mentions then again false prophets there. And you can see the Inquisition. Can you? Oh, it's actually, okay, I'll move it up. Sorry. Yeah. You can see the Inquisition, Michael Servetus, Huguenots. That's the most first examples which came to my mind when I was thinking about it. You have a little quotation from fourth volume as well. Primary sorrows, as I said, there will be secondary sorrows. And if we link it with the Thessalonians 5, 5th chapter and verse 3, we have the same word where it's actually used and where it talks about the distractions. So looks like that'll be the end. What I want you to pay attention to is that in 1872, one of the physicians, he described the contractions, which is called Braxton-Hicks contractions, but they start to appear from 16th week of pregnancy. Pregnancy lasts 40 weeks, am I right? Yeah, okay, good. Looks like 60% of pregnancy, there will be the contractions. However, as he said, described, they are not noticeable by many. And they are very irregular and not as strong as the last one. And the main difference between the very early, or we call it Hicks contractions, the contractions which are at the end, are that at the end are very regular, more frequent, more painful, with very small time in between and big amplitude. And they amplitude increases and time between them decreases when time goes on. And that's what we would like to show now. If we take the worst, which we had, I took from Wikipedia, you got the address from Wikipedia, the worst which had at least 500,000 of casualties, and I just graphed it. So you can see that, what, more than half of these casualties of these wars were in the last century. So what it means, these contractions became more painful in Santeria. And that graph proves it. And that's not my data. I took it from Wikipedia. I found it very interesting talk from Brother Joe Migaj. And I grabbed from his presentation this slide. So what I did is I totaled the number of years when they had the wars in that period when they are on this slide. And it was 2,280 years of wars in the period of 1,548 years, right? So basically it was more years of war than years of life. Because there was wars in different places, that's why, right? So what I'm trying to say is, okay, the wars were very long. There was like enterprise of life. Then he had another slide, and from more recent period, worse, and the total period of worse, yes, was only 54, 57, but the period covered was 224. So that means the wars were much shorter, more painful, we learned how to kill. And we know now that we mastered that, or mankind mastered it, and we can kill everybody in a few minutes time if we want to. So basically we're ready to do it. Now let's go off famine contractions. We thought that famine is the something which was in the past. Not really. Again, data from Wikipedia. Last 150 years accounts for half of documented famines. 9 out of 10 most deadliest famines were since 1874. And you've got the references where the data are from. Okay, again from Joe Migach. He talks, very interesting, it's worth to read, no time to do it. But my little kind of like thought to it was that now we have also that on top of it, starvation of lack of word of God in the Christendom. The word of God is no more there. When Brother Joe Migach talks about famine on the next of his slides, he says about the consequences of it, no safety nets. And then he goes about the cannibalism, which famine caused. Well, today, most of the young generation, and we are living in a society with no safety nets. We're actually debt-driven society. We're just living to pay the interest. We have the modern cannibalism around us too. People want to extend the life, trying to get the parts of the body to supply to somebody else from living people. That's also what's happening. I want to also mention that there's one thing he goes, how much more cities were affected. Well, our cities are very much exposed to big disaster. We are so well linked and so dependent on somebody else that we can't live. So basically what I'm trying to say, right, perhaps we don't have a famine here, although we may have a famine when it comes to word of God around us. But we're living where the consequences of famine are basically everyday life. Epidemic contractions. Okay. Last 150 years accounts for half of documented epidemics. About one third of pandemics, which is the big version of epidemics, were since 1874. And also I want you to notice, because what you see on this graph is number of epidemics per century. And in this century, 21st century, it's only what, 14 years? The number of epidemics is already 47. That's pretty big. And it's quite a big, long to finish. So yes, we're actually battling epidemics. And you can see how it grows from like 16th century up. Okay, Joe Migach, he talks about pestilence or epidemics, how they had and how it was spread in Europe at that time. And now we have the means to do it much, much quicker. Currently, we are battling with 5 new epidemics. That's the current number of epidemics which are around the world. Earthquakes. These data are 2 years old. This one. The other one was just fresh. This one is 2 years old. But I don't think in regards to earthquakes changed much. I took again from Wikipedia the data. Earthquakes with over 100,000 of casualties. That's a list of it, and that's how it presents itself on graph. Right? So what we can see is in blue on the right, it took just over 100 years of Centelia to experience what it took 18th centuries. And the graph represents that. Oh, by the way, remember I said the Higgs contraction started 60% of the pregnancy time? Yeah? Okay, if you look here, right, that'll be the 60%. Right, a couple of contractions, and then we have here more regular. Yep. Okay, property damage. Okay, data. Okay, that's impressive. Yeah, we built it quite a lot. We lost quite a lot. 9 out of 10, where property damage was in billions of dollars, is in Centelia. Okay. Now is something again different. In Wikipedia, you can find so-called historically essential earthquakes. So what I did, I just downloaded it. It was 9,965 of them in 2012 when I did it. And I just grabbed it, as you can see it. So each dot, it corresponds how many was in that earthquake, historically important essential earthquakes in that year. So only 31 of them was up to 1800. Only 31. The rest, out of, so that means 934 would be in 1800s of these historical essential earthquakes. So let's zoom in. And that's something very interesting. As you can see, in 21st century, these historically important earthquakes just skyrocketed. What happened? What kind of revolution we... Oh, because earthquakes represent revolution, right? We experienced that time. I don't know what I know, but I think that kind of some of the related to internet, mobile phones, communication. Yes, Rabbi David?
The first thing that all the small was getting strong. So much building, small ethnic group poverty. And you're right, internet and telephone connects them all together, doesn't it?
Facilitated it, yeah. Well, just, I don't know, just, there's something which really struck me when I looked at it. I said, no, it's interesting. All right, that's, how much more time do we have? I don't know, what, 5 more? All right. So let's finish it off. Then, remember the definition of Santalia, things are coming together. So these things, when they will come really together, there will be no way out for the people. And that will be the language, and that could be the way how the people can be persuaded. Whether they will see the Lord behind it or not, that's their matter, but the fact is the fact. When Luke presents the account of the same with Matthew, he does that a little bit differently, and there's two differences which I highlighted. First of all, he put one more calamity, which is called fearful sight. Really, it is not the best translation, what I understand, what the scholar is telling us. First of all, this Greek word is only once used in New Testament, and also it is equal to the Hebrew word, as you can see, 2283. Where in Isaiah 19:17 is translated as terror. However, it may have another meaning. It is that that word is used by in medical language by Hippocrates of fearful objects imagined by the sick. Okay, you can make your own interpretation. You've got two options. You can expand on any of them. But there's one more point. Verse 12 says, but all these things will be fulfilled, but before all these things will be fulfilled, they shall lay your hands and basically they will persecute you. Okay. So what it means that persecution will finish before that things will be fulfilled. Well, we said about these four things that that was the work of 18th century, but we already expanded it that, well, there'll be secondary pain. That could be another reason that this extra thing which Luke lists moves it also and adds it to the final tribulation. Okay, I may want to skip what is the first sign of the harvest. I do a bit of advertisement. See, that's a slide from Rabbi Daniel Kaleta talk, and I'll show you that's partly translated into English and a little bit more than he has on it. But something very exceptional what he did. I just want to do advertise it for future for that only. Basically, you know, in Matthew 24, you've got the first the parable of the fig tree. Right, and then you have the comparison to days of Noah, and then you have the parable of the thief, right? And then If you go number 4, there will be parable of a faithful servant, 10 virgins, and parable of talents. Interestingly, first three, they deal with the environments where the people who are living, or not only people, they are preoccupied with other things, not the second presence. But they serve as a sign. Then, column number 2, actually there will be number 3 here, as you can see it, this column, talks about signs as they are experienced through those who are waiting for second presence, who are looking for it. And again, you've got the correspondence this way. Here is, who is the God's messenger? Yes, it is Israel here. Yes, it is faithful servant as the God's messenger. And both of them are the signs of second presence. So basically, what I'm saying, or what he's saying, but I accept it, I like it. It is very good answer of our Lord on disciples' question, when and what sign? Well, so far you could see 6. I said, there's the 7 bullet points. Where's the 7th? There's one more. The parable of the goats and sheep, which relates to the millennium, which is the last part of the parousia, which is the apocalypse to the whole world. And again, there'll be one more santeria there, one more harvest there. So our Lord was faced with a very difficult question by disciples, because he had to deal with 3 santerias. And he had to explain all of it. So he did. Let the Lord bless you to investigate and consider these things.